I would direct your attention to Psalm 91. In fact, if you have your Bibles and want to keep them open, I'll be referring to this psalm throughout my message this morning. But that first verse says, "Oh, come, let us sing unto the Lord." And then it says, for those of us that can't carry a tune very well, "Let us make a joyful noise to the rock of our salvation." And I know there are probably some people here this morning that might say, "Well, preacher, I just can't be thankful today because of the circumstances in my life. There's some things going on in my life that I'm just gritting my teeth. I'm just enduring. And I really don't think about and think that I can praise God for what's going on in my life." And I just want to tell you this morning, I believe we as Christians ought to thank God regardless of the circumstances that are going on in our life. I believe we ought to be thankful to our God regardless of what's going on. And if you have trouble doing that, the psalmist would say, okay, if you can't thank God for anything else, just thank God that He's such a great God.
Amen.
In verse 3 it says, "For the Lord is a great God."
Amen.
I wish you could have all been here Thursday night. Brother Wayne's nephew, right, Brother Wayne, one of your nephew's buddy, sang. Chris played the piano. And the two of them took us to the portals of heaven, into the throne room of God, and set us at the feet of Jesus. And reminded us what kind of God we have. He sang that song, "How Great Thou Art." And I had a couple people talk to me Friday, said, "Boy, that guy could really bellow that out." I said, "Well, yeah, you heard what Brother Wayne said. Almost sounded like a moss." Now, that's a high compliment coming from him. I mean, he wasn't a moss, but he sounded like a moss. And he sang that song, "Then sings my soul, my spirit, God, to thee, how great thou art." And I got to thinking about that song. I got to thinking about this psalm, which I had recently read. And I want to preach a message this morning. I've entitled, "How Great Thou Art." And because it's old-fashioned day, I decided to give you something special and extra this morning. Instead of just having 3 points, I got 5. And so I just want you to revel in the greatness of our God. And I want to give you 5 reasons why God is great. Number one, He is great because He creates.
Amen.
He creates. In verse 5 of that psalm, the Bible says, "The sea is His, and He made it, and His hands formed the dry land." Did you ever notice in the Bible that nowhere in the Bible do we find an argument for God as a creator? It's always just an announcement. It's always just an announcement that our God is creator. Let me read just a couple verses for you. In Jeremiah 32, verse 17, the Bible says, "Ah, Lord God, behold, thou hast made the heaven and the earth by thy great power and stretched out arm, and there is nothing too hard for thee." In Nehemiah chapter 9, verse 6, the Bible says, "Thou, even thou, art Lord alone. For thou hast made heaven, the heaven of heavens, with all their hosts, the earth and all things that are therein, the seas and all that is therein, and thou preservest them all." In Zechariah chapter 12, verse 1, "The burden of the word of the Lord for Israel, saith the Lord, which stretcheth forth the heavens, and layeth the foundations of the earth, and formeth the spirit of man with it." One of the foundational truths of our faith is that God is creator. We live in a day that rejects that truth. People say today, "Oh, there was no creation. There is no creator. Everything just happened by fate. Everything just happened by chance. And everything evolved into what it is today." And the evolutionists, those that believe in evolution, belittle anybody that believes in a creator. They say to us that believe in a creator, well, you prove creation. And I want to tell you this morning, I can't prove creation. I wasn't there when God formed the earth and made the seas and made everything in the earth. I cannot prove. I accept that God is creator by faith. But I want to tell you something this morning. The evolutionists can't prove evolution either. I mean, they're still missing links. They've been looking for the missing link for hundreds of years. I want to tell you something this morning. And since this is old-fashioned day, I'm not going to worry about my English very much. There ain't no missing link. Because evolution, to believe in evolution, you got to take it by faith. Just like I take creation by faith. And I don't know about you, I'm going to put my faith in a loving, personal God before I put my faith in some crap-brained idea of a God who renounced it before he died.
Right. Amen. Amen.
I believe in a creator. Young man went to college. A Christian young man went to college. He came home after his first year where his faith was tested, where he began to question everything that his parents and his Sunday school teachers had taught him down through the years. And so he was out on the farm with his dad, and he saw these great big pumpkins growing on these tiny vines. And then he saw little acorns hanging in a great oak tree. And he said, if I was God, I would have done it different. I would have hung the great big pumpkins from the mighty oak tree and those little acorns on those little vines. Just then, a little acorn fell out of that oak tree and hit him in the head. And his dad said, I'm glad you're not God. I'm glad I'm not God. I have trouble putting a jigsaw puzzle together. I had trouble when the kids were young and my wife bought something that needed to be assembled. It always took me 4 or 5 times to get it together right. I don't need instructions. And so when I got it done, there was always something that was left over and something didn't work right. It took me to the 4th or 5th time, after a lot of prodding from my better half back then, to read the instructions to put it together right. We have a great God. Amen. Because he put everything together just exactly the way it was supposed together. And so that psalm says in verse 6 and 7, oh come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord our Maker, for he is our God.
Amen.
Our God
Amen.
Is a great God because he is a creator. Number 2, he's great because he controls. Not only did he create, but he controls what he created. In verse 4 of that psalm, the Bible says, in his hands are the deep places of the earth. The strength of the hills is his also. Our God is not an absent God. He did not create and then leave. He did not wind up creation and then leave and let it run down. Everything that he created, the heavens, the earth, all the animals, man, everything was created for a purpose, and they are sustained and controlled by God to accomplish that purpose. In Psalm 148, verses 7 through 12, here's what the Bible says. Praise the Lord from the earth, ye dragons and all deeps, fire and hail, snow and vapor, storming winds, fulfilling his word. Mountains and all hills, fruitful trees and all cedars, beast and all cattle, creeping things and flying fowl, wings of the earth and all people, princes and all judges of the earth, both young men and maidens, old men and children, fulfill his word. The psalmist says everything in creation, everything that God made was made for a purpose. Everything that God made was made by his plan. And every person here this morning, every man, every woman, every boy, and every girl was created by God for a purpose.
Amen.
For a purpose. Amen. Even the things that are here that we might not see this morning were created for a purpose. You know, you come in here in the middle of the night, we have crickets. They chirp. They were made for a purpose. Yesterday morning, I saw an ant. Just one. We pay Oregon a monthly fee to keep the ants out of this place. But I saw an ant yesterday. I knew I was going to preach. I was going to squish that little ant, but then I said to myself, that ant was created on purpose by God. And so I just sort of picked him up and threw him outside. A week ago or so, I hate to tell you this, but I'm going to tell you anyway. We found a mouse. Now, unfortunately, it had passed away. And so we, to tell you the truth, I don't know what we did with it. Adam found it while I was in Mexico, so I have to ask him what he did with that mouse. But that mouse was created for a purpose. Everything was created for a purpose by God.
Amen.
He's a great God.
That's right.
A great God. Number three, and Wendell, I'm glad you sang that song, Consider the Lilies. He's a great God because he cares. He cares. In verse 7, we are the people of his pasture and the sheep of his hand. Our God is great because he's a good shepherd. He knows us by name. He knows us as an individual. Hey, God made the universe. He controls the universe. But he knows you. He knows your name. The Bible says he knows the number of hairs on your head. Some of you, it's getting easier for him to keep track of them. But he knows the hairs on your head. He cares about you as an individual. He's your shepherd. He leads you. He protects you. He feeds you. He guides you. Every good gift in our life comes down from a God who great because he cares for us.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. Amen.
Psalmist says, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest the table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. And I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Amen. I remind you this morning, our God's great because he cares for you. He cares for you. Read a story. It took place when Napoleon was Emperor of France. One of his countrymen had done something that made the emperor mad, so he had this Frenchman arrested and thrown into to a prison, one of the worst prisons in the country of France. And he was down in a cell. He had no contact with any other human being. They would slip him food once a day. There was a tiny window at the top of the cell that he was in, just give a little ray of light. And days passed, and months passed, and years passed. And he was so lonesome and forlorn that he picked up a stone that was in the bottom of the cell and went over to the rock wall and scratched in the wall two words, nobody cares. Nobody cares. The story goes that one day he noticed in the floor of his cell there was a little green sprout that came up between the cracks. And so he was given a little bit of water every day, and so he took a little bit of that water and he watered that little green sprout that was growing up through the cracks in the bottom of the cell. And it got a little bit bigger, and then a little bud appeared on that sprout. He kept watering it, and as that little plant reached its head up toward the window and the light that was coming in through the window, that little bud opened up. And the story goes there was a beautiful blue flower on that bud. And the man went over and he took that stone and he scratched out the words, nobody cares. And he wrote with that stone on the wall of his prison, God cares.
Amen.
Amen.
God cares. Sometimes we have to get to some of the deepest points in our life. Sometimes God has to put us in circumstances that we would not choose for ourselves, for us to notice that he cares.
Everybody else may seem to have deserted us. Everybody else may have seemed to walk away, but God never does. He's a great God.
Amen.
Because he cares. Number four, he's a great God because he calls. Again, in that Psalm, verses 7 and 8, today if you will hear his voice, harden not your heart as in the provocation and as in the day of temptation in the wilderness. Referring back to the Israelites, many times God called them and they had hard hearts. Many times God called and they didn't listen, they didn't heed the call of God. But he's great not only because he creates, not only because he controls, not only because he cares, but he calls. He calls us to salvation. In the book of Matthew chapter 11, verse 28, he says, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. You see, there are still people in this world that think they got to work their way to God. There's still people in this world, and that verse talks about them. They labor and are heavy laden. They are laden with the thought, and they work, thinking that they can do something to make themselves right with God. They can do something to get their sins taken care of. I want to remind you this morning, we have a great God because he knows that we can't work our way back to him. He knows that there's nothing that we can do to atone for our sins. And so he calls. He says, you come to me. Come to me, Jesus said. Come to me. Don't labor and be heavy laden. You just come to me, and I'll make you right with God. Jesus said on another occasion, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me. You don't work your way to heaven. You don't get baptized to go to heaven. You don't take the Lord's Supper to go to heaven. You don't join a church to go to heaven. The only way you can get to heaven is to come to the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen. That's right.
There is no other way.
Right.
And if anybody tells you there's another way to God than the Lord Jesus Christ, they're telling you the devil's lie. They want you to go to hell and suffer forever. The only way that you can get right with God is to come to the Lord Jesus Christ. Accept what he did for you on Calvary. Receive it for yourself. Become a child of God. And get saved.
Amen. That's right.
I don't know about you, I like this kind of preaching.
Amen. Amen.
You know, Brother Bill. And I told Sam yesterday, you know, Sam's inviting people to church. He says, you got to come hear our preacher. I said, Sam, you got to set the bar lower. I said, just tell him that he preaches a good message every once in a while, and maybe if you come, you'll get a good one. Don't tell him I preach that. But anyhow, I told the folks last Sunday night, Brother Bill was talking to David Bernard last week after the service, and I came up just to say goodbye to both of them. He made the statement. He said, man, if the preacher preaches like that after he's gone to Mexico, we ought to send him to Mexico every week. I hope he says this morning, well, if the preacher preaches like that in overalls, we ought to let him wear overalls every week. Listen. You don't go to heaven because you're a good person. You don't get to go to heaven because you do good deeds. You go to heaven because there was a time in your life you came to the Lord Jesus Christ, admitted that you were a sinner, and understood that there was a penalty for that sin, and understood that Jesus paid the penalty, and you put your faith and trust. Faith, by the way, that God deals a measure to every man. Don't sit here this morning and tell me you don't have enough faith to get saved. You do. God gave it to you. But you have to make the decision whether you're going to exercise it or not. And the only way that you can get right with God, the only way that you can get your sins forgiven, the only way that you can go to heaven is to come to the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
He calls. If you're here this morning and you're not saved, he's calling you. And if you're honest and if you're listening, there's a still small voice in your heart, in your mind, in your soul that's saying, hey, what that crazy guy is saying is true. It's true. You need Jesus. He calls. And then number five, he's great because he chastens. He chastens. Verses 10 and 11. 40 years long was I grieved with this generation and said, it is a people that do err in their hearts, and they have not known my ways. unto whom I swear in my wrath that they should not enter into my rest. God's our Father. He loves us. He wants us to turn out right. And when we get stubborn, and when we decide to walk in our way instead of His way, He loves us enough to punish, to spank us, to chasten us. Hebrews 12:6, for whom the Lord loveth, He chasteneth, and scourgeth every son whom He receiveth. Proverbs 13:24, he that spareth his rod hateth his son, but he that loveth him chasteneth him between times. I know most of us don't like to talk about this chastening of God, but I think it's one thing that makes Him great. He loves us enough. He loves us enough. He loves you enough. He loves me enough that when we walk out of that straight, narrow way, He sort of slaps us. He sort of, like we were talking about in Sunday school, prods us with that prick and say, hey, get back to where you belong. Get back to what you're supposed to be doing. Get back to where I want you. God has a will for every one of our lives. You and I were created for a purpose. And I mentioned it in Sunday school. Second most miserable person in the world is somebody is a Christian that's saved, knowing what God wants them to do and not doing it. It's a miserable life. Say, preacher, what's the most miserable person? Well, the most miserable person in the world is somebody that's not saved, and the Holy Spirit is calling them to salvation, and they resist, and they resist, and they resist, and they resist. I hope that you fall in either one of those categories this morning. I hope if you're here and the Holy Spirit is calling you to come to Jesus Christ, that you'll do that this morning. In just a second, we're going to have an invitation. We're going to sing a song. We're going to ask you to stand. We're going to sing a song. I'm going to invite you to come to Jesus. I'm going to invite you to receive His salvation. I'm not asking you to become a Baptist. I'm not asking you to join the church. I think both of those things are pretty good things to do, by the way. I'm asking you to come to God through the Lord Jesus Christ. If you walk down the aisle in just a minute, I'll have somebody take the Bible. I'll have them show you from the Bible how you can ask Jesus to be your Savior. Most of us are Christians here this morning. I hope you don't fall into that second category. I hope if God has revealed to you what He wants you to do, I hope if God has told you something that He wants you to do, I hope you'll be obedient. I hope you are obedient. I pray that you're obedient. If not, why don't you just come and say, hey God, I'm sorry for being so stupid and stubborn. I'm going to do exactly what you tell me to do. Would you do that this morning? Would you? Let's pray together. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you that you are a great God. Then sings my soul, my spirit, God, to thee. How great thou art. Thank you for being a great God. Thank you for all the things that we talked about. And Father, as you call this morning, if you're calling somebody here this morning that doesn't know Christ, I pray that they would heed the call. I pray that they would see their sin, they would see the penalty, separation from you that results from that sin, and I pray that they would come to Jesus Christ this morning. And then, Father, I pray for the many Christians that are here. I pray we're obedient. I pray we're walking in the way that you want us to walk, and if we're not, I pray, Father, we get on our knees this morning and come to this old-fashioned altar, get on our knees, ask that to forgive us, and ask you to help us to get back to where we need to be. So, Father, I ask you to bless this time of invitation. Speak to our hearts, Holy Spirit. Help us to be obedient. For it's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen.